Good morning to everyone. Wonderful to see you all here this Easter Sunday morning. The world we live in sometimes is kind of an odd and unusual sort of place. The internet has made things sort of odd and unusual insofar as we all have a tendency to wind up talking about and thinking about the same things because the internet just keeps bringing them up to us. One of the things this year that I kept finding people asking about was, how many times a day does the average guy think about the Roman Empire? And I remember thinking, well, until you asked me that question, not all that often. But then they kept asking over and over and over again on the internet, how many times a day does the average guy think about the Roman Empire? I'm like, well, now I'm thinking about it a lot. Thank you very much. The simple fact of the matter is, it's not something I think your average person spends a whole lot of time on any given day ruminating about, but in all of those times when it asks, how many times a day do you think about the Roman Empire? Nobody ever once asked the question, how many times a day do you wonder whether or not Julius Caesar was a real person? The internet never said, do you believe that Julius Caesar never existed? Or do you believe Julius Caesar was a myth? Or do you think Julius Caesar might have been just a bunch of different people that they talked about? The world never asks this question. Why not? Because we all know Julius Caesar was a real person, right? And yet, if one actually looks at the written evidence in history from that period of time, there is almost four times as much written evidence about the existence of Jesus Christ than there is about the existence of Julius Caesar. Yet we live in a world where people ask all the time, is there a Jesus Christ? But nobody ever asks, is there a Julius Caesar? Why is that? It's four times more likely that Julius Caesar never existed. And we never ask ourselves that question because the simple fact of the matter is, no matter how many times a day your average person thinks about the Roman Empire, Julius Caesar does not have a lot of impact on how you live, who you are, and what you think. Unless, of course, you're in an English class and they're making you read Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, in which case it may directly affect your grades. Otherwise, most of us, really, it doesn't impact us. But the question of whether or not Jesus existed, the question of whether or not Jesus was, as people in his era describe him, has an enormous quantity of impact on who we are. In fact, it changes entirely from top to bottom our identity as human beings. Because if Jesus was, as he was described, a man, clearly, a person, yes, a Nazarene, yes, someone from Israel who did incredible and amazing things, all that, yes. If he was, in fact, born of a virgin, son of God, Messiah, sent for the salvation of all of humanity, then that makes Jesus Christ the central pivotal figure in all of human history. Not just Roman history or European history or Western history, but the most important event in the history of humanity. From the moment that humans first draw breath to today, nothing matters more. Why? Well, God only came once as a human, came once to live, came once to die for our sins, died on a cross for each and every one of us. I've used this analogy before. I think it is a very apt analogy. Why does it matter that Jesus died on a cross in order to pay for our sins? And the analogy is simply this. Gold does not come out of the ground with a price tag on it. No gold miner ever found himself a great big chunk of rock, pulled it out of the ground, and said, well, let me scan the barcode on that, see how much it's worth. That's not how gold works. Instead, they refined it, and they took it somewhere, and they measured it out, and they said, okay, I have an ounce of gold here. Again, it still doesn't have a price tag on it. Gold is only worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it. So on any given day, if somebody's willing to pay $50 for that ounce of gold, it's worth $50. They're willing to pay $5,000 for that ounce of gold, it's worth $5,000. If Jesus is who Jesus says he was, and I believe with all my being he was, then he was the immortal, everlasting, perfect Son of God who was sinless and beloved of God in heaven above all else and all creation. He was of infinite value. And he took himself to the cross to die for our sins, to pay the price for each and every one of us. And he paid with his life for you, for me, for every other person in this world. How much? Well, with his life. How much was his worth life? His life was worth an infinite amount. That's how much God treasures you and me. That he looks at our soul and he says, for me, you are worth an infinite price. And when we question whether or not one person's sacrifice on a cross can cover the totality of human sin, well, we simply have to do the math. How much is my sin costing me? How much is my sin costing God? And can the value that Jesus brings cover that cost? Well, it doesn't matter how high that number goes, how big that amount is, how grand a debt we have run up in our lives. Jesus' life is still infinitely valuable, which means it can cover all, does cover all, will cover all. There is not a sin that you or I have ever committed that Jesus' gift on the cross did not pay off. Why? Because more than anything else, our Father in heaven wanted us to be reunited to him. Not just in a temporary way, because 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected from the grave. He was brought back to life. And then he was taken up into heaven. This was done not in order that Jesus might have a happy ending. This is a great happy ending to the story. It was done in order that you and I might know that as we shared in his life and Jesus shared his death with us, so too does he share with us his resurrection. We say alleluia and we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning, not just because we are so happy that Christ is risen. We do so because we are happy to know that we are risen with him. That our life is permanently tied to his through his gift on the cross. And through that, for those of us who believe in Christ, there's life everlasting and life eternal. Life abundant in this world. We celebrate on Easter the Christ who is risen, whose life was chronicled by every single person of value and education in the world in his time. His life was chronicled by apostles, historians, shopkeepers, farmers, theologians. The Christ who lived, who died, and was resurrected on Easter Sunday is our Christ. And we are his. And in him, we receive something so much more glorious than we could ever imagine. Salvation. Eternal salvation. So as we gather together on this Easter Sunday and go out to do whatever activities you're going to go do. Maybe you're going to stay here and have an Easter egg hunt. I welcome you to do so if you have kids. It's a lot of fun. Maybe you're going to go home and eat way more ham than you really should. And then polish off a majority of your Easter basket. I don't know about you. I take an Easter basket as a challenge. You know, you got to kind of look at it and be like, okay, how many days can I make this last? Or how quickly can I get through it? Because, you know, that's what our dentist wants us to do. You know, eat the candy quickly, because if you eat it slow, then it's just more decay for your teeth. It's a good excuse, right? Whatever it is that you're doing this Easter Sunday to celebrate, to remember Christ's gift, Christ's resurrection, Christ's forgiveness, do so with an alleluia in your heart. Do so with an alleluia on your voice. Do so knowing that there is joy to be had in this day because our God who was dead is alive again, and in him we too will live again. And through this joy, we are transformed. Because at the very heart of it, as much as Lent is important, and I love the season of Lent, as much as Holy Week is important, And I love the week of Holy Week because there is so much serious reflection that happens during that period of time. There is so much reflection on what it is that Jesus needs to do to overcome our sin, and we consider sin all the way through. When we come to Easter, we are reminded that the heart of the experience of a Christian is not penitence or sorrow or sadness, but joy. Joy and hope, love and grace, mercy and renewal. At the very center of who we are is joy. Joy in our God who offered himself as a sacrifice for us and rose again to share his life with us. So I say to you all, go out with joy. Go out with happiness. Go out with an hallelujah on your lips and celebrate. Amen.